early teens, and all of a sudden we see this little shepherd boy out keeping the sheep. The times surrounding this, very troublesome time. The people had said, give us a king. And so God said, look, you've rejected Samuel, I'll give you a king. And they named his name was Saul. Saul stood head taller upon all the other people. And yet as he stood head taller upon all the other people, he led the nation of Israel for a period of time. Till one day, it was time to go to battle. Samuel was not there to offer the sacrifice. Saul took on the role he wasn't supposed to take on, and he offered the sacrifice. God rejected it. A few years later, all of a sudden he goes and to fight the Amalekites. And God said, go in and kill every man, woman, boy, and girl. Kill them all out. This is spiritual surgery. They have rejected me and now the proper judgment is upon them. They went in and they allowed the sheep to live. They allowed many to live. And when Samuel comes along, he said to Saul, Saul, didn't I give you instructions? And he said, yes. What's this bleeding I hear? Oh, it's the lambs to offer sacrifice unto God. And God became angry with Saul. God rejected man's king. From that day forward, he took his hand off of a man named Saul. Samuel would not meet with him anymore because God had taken his hand off of him. And yet Samuel the prophet, he mourned for Saul because he wanted to help God's man, but now this evil spirit started coming on him. And they said, look, we need somebody. We need somebody to play. In the course of this time, there was this young shepherd boy. Very possible he was a redhead. Can you imagine that? The Bible says he was ruddy, and the word ruddy means reddish. Either he had a reddish complexion or he was a redhead. For lack of discussion today, I'm going to call him David the Redhead. Okay? Because there's not many of those around. There wasn't many in his day. How many Jewish redheads do we have? Well, I don't know. But this I do know. God came along and said, okay, Samuel, I want you to go out. Stop mourning for Saul. I've taken my hand off of him. And I want you to go out and anoint my king. You see, man's king, Saul, failed. God's king, David. He said, go to the city. And he went to the house of Jesse. And he went to the house of Jesse and said, bring out your boys. They brought out the eldest. Oh, Samuel, the prophet, said, that's got to be him. God said, no. He brought out the next son. Oh, surely this is him. No. He went through six sons. And God never said yes. Samuel asked a simple question. He said, do you have any other boys? He said, yes, I got one, but he's out keeping the sheep. Samuel said, we're not going to sit out until you bring him here. So they went out and they brought in David, the redhead. And God said to Samuel the prophet, that's my man. He took the oil and anointed him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that moment. Now we're going to talk more about David as we go in, but it's very important to know that the Spirit of the Lord was on David now at a young age. And during this, after the life of David on in, Jesus Christ would come out of the lineage of who? David. So it's very important for us to capture this meaning about who this young redhead is. Because it would be out of his lineage now that we're going to see things. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, the scripture says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In verse 6, Matthew 1, 6, it said, Jesse begot David the king. The only reference to a king is David the king. You see, David is God's king. And so David And David begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And then the scripture says in Matthew 1:17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the Babylonian captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, what's the importance? If you captured it, David, my king. God's going to say many times, David, my servant. So in the life, the people knew that there was none greater. David was the, he was the man. He was the superhero. And all things were pointing back and looking at David. But Lord Jesus used David in many different places, but in one specific place, He said, you remember David? Yeah. One greater than David is here. And that was the Lord Jesus. The Gentile world recognized David because there was one who was sick. A woman from Canaan said in Matthew 15:22, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. David, son of David. You see how important this guy is, David, to us? Now, David was also the writer of the book of Psalms. Most of the Psalms written by David. David who? David the king. David who? David the servant. Well, we're going to take a chapter out of his life. Because if I were to give you the whole life of David, it's kind of amazing. Almost from his birth to his very death, David is highlighted. I mean, if you saw in the life of David, you would see how that he was anointed king. And then how that he went and fought this guy named Goliath. And you would see how he had many wives. And you would see how he conquered the Philistines. How that he was a judge in Bethany, or a ruler in Bethany for 7 years. And then 33 years in Bethlehem, he was the ruler. But you'd also see the tragedy in his life. As he turned and he looked upon a woman and lusted after her and he leaped after her and he committed murder because of his lust for this woman. Killing Uriah, great warrior, had him killed. But then he turns and repents in Psalm 51. He says, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He was a great sinner, but he was a great repenter. And then in his life, you're going to see his son Absalom comes along and tries to take over the kingdom. You see, one of his sons rapes one of the sisters in his life. And then Absalom kills that brother that raped his sister. And then Absalom tries to take the kingdom away from David. I mean, you're talking about a life. But yet all through this life, David, my servant, David. David, my king, my king. Well, the rest of the message this morning is for our youth teachers. Uh-oh, Scott, are you ready? The rest of the message is for you. Michelle, are you ready? I'm just going to let everybody else listen in the rest of the way, okay? Y'all just listen in, because I'm going to be talking to these two the rest of the sermon. Well, you know that's not the whole truth, but it's part of the truth, okay? And we're going to see, we're going to take out a chapter out of the life of this man named David, and it's so important for us to see. By the way, as I give them instructions, many of you say, you know, I'd like to know God, study God's Word better. If you'll take the instructions that I'm going to give Scott and Michelle this morning and you'll apply it to your quiet time, to your studying of God's Word, let me tell you, you are going to reap great rewards. Are y'all ready to learn, Scott, this morning? I'm going to give you a test at the end. Okay, so you better hope that Wendy takes good notes. All right, here we go. We're getting ready now. We're going to go to the test because the fact about the matter is you got to face your giant. Are you ready to face the giant? There was actually a movie called what? facing the giants. That was a great movie. But now when you go into teaching of the youth, Scott, there's five things I want you to do. Remember to do with these five things. And if y'all want to eavesdrop, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, okay? Go ahead and y'all eavesdrop. Don't y'all... Hey, y'all, any of y'all ever live when phones had a party line? We had an 8 party line on there. And certain rings, you don't pick up. Boy, you could pick up the phone and you could hear what's going on. I want y'all to be on the party line this morning, okay? I want you to pick up the phone and listen in on this conversation, because you might learn something in on this. So, Scott, when y'all go to teach the youth, one of the things I want you to realize, there are going to be some people in there that are not Christians. And so, don't go into your group and say, well, if you're not a Christian, and all of a sudden, alienate them. Okay? Because what you're going to discover inside of this, God has a message that He wants believers and non-believers. So what we do, we don't want to alienate the non-Christians. So how do you do this? What do? You teach the principles. I want you to see them in chapter 17. Chapter 17, we see in verse 1, I'm going to kind of give you a kickoff here in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered the armies together to battle, and were gathered at Saku, which belongs to Judah. And they encamped between Saku and Eskah and Ephes and Damim. And y'all know where those places are? Neither do I. Okay? But that's where the battle took place. Now, right there, Saul was on one side. Saul and the men of Israel, they gathered and they encamped on the valley of Elah and drew up an army array against the Philistines. Now, where is David right now? Let's kind of get this thing in context. Where is our hero David? Does anybody know? He's home. That's half of it. He's tending the sheep. That's where David is. You remember the hero of this story? What is he doing? He's back home, he's a shepherd, he's tending the sheep, he's got chores to do. Now, do y'all like to do chores? Well, you need to, because you learn so much doing your chores. Well, all of a sudden, Jesse said, called David out of the field and said, look, I want you to go check on your brothers. I want you to take them some cheese and some drink and all. Go check on your brothers and come back and tell me. Where were the brothers? The brothers were out there fighting the battle with the Philistines. On one side, you had the Philistines. On the other side, you had the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. And right in the middle, all of a sudden, you have this big guy. His name is Goliath. He comes out and he defies the armies of God. How many of the men wanted to go down and face this guy? Stands about 10 feet tall. And he has a beam for a spear, weighs close to 100 pounds. And a lot of times in the Jewish people in that day, they were little bitty guys just like me. I like little was in. Okay? So dynamite comes in small packages. Alright. So all of a sudden now we see, here he is. Now this big old Johnny comes out there and he says, look, you come down here and fight me. If you win, you got my nation. If I win, I got your nation. How many of these guys volunteered? None. How many days did this guy come down there taunting them? 40 days. Not one man, including Saul the king, who stood head taller above there, not one of them had the guts to go down there and fight this giant. Y'all got the scene? Jesse says to his youngest son, hey boy, go check on your brothers. Go check on your brothers. They head down there. All of a sudden, Goliath comes out. He gives his charge again. David eavesdrops. He listens in. Verse 10, chapter 17, verse 10, the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. Not one. Verse 12, now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in age in the days of Saul. The three oldest sons of Jesse gone to battle, the names of the three who went to battle were Eli, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, next to him was Shammah. David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. That's in verse 15. That's where you got to follow the Bible. Where is David now? What has he been doing? Feeding sheep. Philistines drew near, presenting himself 40 days in the morning. Jesse says, go feed your brother. Take these 10 cheeses. I like that. Take these 10 cheeses to the captains and see your brother's fare. Verse 20, David rises early in the morning and goes here. And he sees in verse 21, he sees Israel and the Philistines drawn up in battle. Verse 22, David left his supply with the keeper and he ran down to greet his brother. And verse 23 comes out, the champion of the Philistines. And he spoke and David heard them. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Verse 25, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich him greatly with riches, will give him his daughter and give him his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel. Boy, Heidi, Israel had tax problems too. Isn't that amazing? Not many things have changed. The battle's on. Whoever goes out, no more taxes. Read my lips. No more taxes, okay? And so he comes out there and he speaks to them. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him and said, what shall be done? Who kills this guy? The reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Oh, man. Now, this young kid comes off. You with me? He comes out from feeding sheep. Three older brothers there. What do you think these three older brothers are going to say about David? Go back home to the sheep. You just wanted to come see the battle. You're just hanging out. Wait a minute. Face the giant. David said, who is this big bag of wind? Is this guy who has defied the army of Israel? Y'all with me now? Okay, all right, here he comes. He's coming in. In verse 28, the eldest brother got mad at David, and why did you come down here? You need to go back home, take care of the sheep. David said, verse 29, he said, turn the page. Okay, verse 29, he said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Are you ready to face your giant this morning? Is there a cause? Listen, folks, if there's a cause, then we got to step up to the plate. David, he's a young Todd. Some say he's 13 or 14, 15. Some say maybe 16. I don't know how. I know he's a teenager. He's a red-headed teenager who's heard this big giant. And he says, here's the cause. Verse 30. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And the people answered him as the first one. Look at verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. All right, now, got to get caught up here. David learned how to face the giants. Where? Doing his chores, tending the sheep. You got giants to face. Where are you going to learn how to face the giants? You might say, well, all I have to do, I got to pick up my clothes. What does your room look like, teenagers? Are the clothes picked up? Huh? Is the bed made? Huh? Okay, I'm just checking. It's taking care of the little things. You prepare for the battle when you take care of the little things. That's where you're going to be taught. David was out taking care of the sheep. So David learned how to face the giants by doing his chores. Now, here's where the story begins to thicken. Saul said to him, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight him, for you are a youth and he is a man of war from his youth." Hey, young people. Scott, who in your youth group is ready to face the giant? Michelle, do you have any young people who are standing up now ready to face the giant? Did y'all remember those two girls that went to Africa? They were just what? Teenagers from a town. How big? 7,000. These two teenager girls said, "We're ready to face the giant." Is there not a cause? You see, Michelle, your young people that you're teaching right now, God can use them. God has empowered them. They can face the giant. But you know what a lot of adults are going to say about them? "You young whippersnapper. You're just wet behind the ears. What do you know?" Here's a big one. "You ain't got any money. Money don't grow on trees. How are you going to Africa?" What did these two girls say? "We're going to Africa." How were they going to get that? They didn't know. But they paid the price, didn't they? And they went to Africa. Saul said to David, "You can't fight. You're too young." Listen, young people. Scott, burn it in their brains. God can use young people. If young people's hearts right with God, where are they going to learn this? Doing the chores. Okay, are you with me now? Boy, this story is getting deeper right here. He says, look in verse 34. David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." And Saul said to David, what? Go! And what else? "Lord be with you." Wow! Wouldn't it be neat if all of a sudden some of our young people, Scott, some of our young people stood up and said, "I'm ready to face the giant." And then all of a sudden, we listened to what God was doing in their lives, and all of a sudden, we as a body of believers got behind them and said, "Michelle, bring them up here. Send them out." And what? "Lord be with you." Whew. Man, can they do it, adults? Yeah. Are they going to fight some of the battles that you're too scared to? You don't have to answer that one. How many of you are going to go to Africa? China? Nigeria? Europe? England? Scotland? Switzerland? Tanzania? I think many of us adults are going to say, "I'm not going." Some of our young people are going to say, "I'll go." You go and truly mean this, and the Lord be with you. So, if you're not, a Christian in there, Scott, tell them the stories. This is the principle. This is life. This is life. Now, when you're telling them, there's going to be some things happen or words come up that people don't really understand. For instance, if I were to ask somebody in here, what does servant mean? What would you say? Ooh, I like doing this. Who do I want to pick out today? Michelle. What does servant mean? If I were to ask one of your young people, what does servant mean? What do you think they'd say? Okay. AJ gave us the nod, didn't he? See, a lot of times we use words that people don't really grasp. And we need to explain those words. You've heard being a servant of God all your life. But what does it mean? I kind of think about that. Now, y'all ready? Now, this is for free right here. It's not for free. It's going to cost you your life. Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus? Let's check it out. Number one, a servant does what? A servant gives respect to the master, right? Here we go. Our Father who art in heaven. Who do you respect? What does a servant do? A servant respects those who are in authority. Think something else about it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, okay? Thy kingdom come. You know what a servant's going to do? Yeah, a servant's going to do the will of the Father. Hey, Jay, does that make sense? Okay, we respect the one in authority. We do the will of the Father. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give Scott the test, okay? All right, so he's going to do the will of the Father. We're trying to learn what this word servant means. So we said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's next? Give us this day our daily bread. Who does a servant depend upon for food? The master. That's who he depends upon. So the servant is one who depends on the master. That's who we are. We are servants of Jesus Christ. So therefore, what we must do? We must depend on the master to give us our daily bread. That's what a servant does. A servant doesn't depend on his own. A servant depends on the master. Give us this day our daily bread, and what? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So you're not left out. A servant is one who forgives. A servant is one who is also forgiven. You see, the servant does not always do what the master wants and the way the master wants. So what does he need? He needs forgiveness. So what do you... He needs... And you got to work with other servants, and what do you got to do? You got to forgive. Isn't that amazing? So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and what? Lead us not into temptation. The master is responsible for the protection of his servants. If he goes into a group and the group starts to harm one of his, what does he do? He stands up for his servant. What is the Lord Jesus going to do for you? The Lord Jesus is going to stand up for you. You see? Now that servant, all of a sudden that servant now, what's happening? He is being protected by the master. Do you suppose somebody who feeds you and protects you and guides you and guards you, would you like to work for somebody like that? Sure you would. That's the servant. That's who David was. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. and the three code words. The kingdom belongs to the master. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power. Who does the authority belong to? The master. And thine is the glory. So who deserves the glory? The master or the servant? The master. AJ, what is a servant now? You ready for me to ask Scott? Okay, Scott. Okay. Does he pass the test? Yeah, let's give him a hand. All right. Now, do you know what the servant means? See, the most amazing thing is when we teach the children and they can understand it, adults get it. Adults get it. We're servants. We're servants. Now, Scott, there's something else you need to learn. Not only do we understand and we break down words, but we also need to apply. Here's where the gospel comes in. We need to articulate the reality of Jesus' life, His death, and His resurrection. David pointed to the Messiah. Anytime, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher in the 1800s, used to say, when I preach, I take a scripture from anywhere in the Bible and head to the cross. You see, if we just tell stories, make applications, read magazines, whatever we do, if we don't head to the cross, we miss the meaning. If we don't take the realities of Christ's life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, we miss it. That's what David did. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This came from a guy that was deaf and blind. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. What does Jesus do? Jesus heals the blind. Amen, Benny? Jesus calls the deaf to hear. Amen, Benny? And see, he can hear me whispering right now. And all of a sudden, Carolyn said, speak real loud. Selective hearing, I understand it. But God does. Do you get the point? Michelle, head to the cross. Head to the cross. Because when we boil it all down, it is about Jesus Christ. Now, the third thing we also, fourth thing we need to do, Scott, is we need to open up our Bibles. Whoa. What are you going to teach from? Bible. Young people, where's your Bible? Adults, where's your Bible? College and career group, where's your Bible? Is your Bible open? Are you hungry? Go to the Word. Bible-centered teaching. Go to the Word of God. David walked by faith and not by sight. Always see him. Because when you open up the Bible, you see these things that come out and we're back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 17, verse 37, he said, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head and he clothed him with his coat of mail and David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk with it and he said, it's not been tested. You know what? A lot of times we try to dress up young people like we're dressed up and we need to let them alone and let them fight the way God has equipped them when they were doing their chores. And so all of a sudden now David comes along here and David, I can see him, geek, Can you see about Saul? I mean, here's this red-headed guy. He's a young guy. And he's proud, though, man. He's got that sword like a gunslinger, you know. He's got that sword out there. He's ready. But he said, I've not tried it. So what did he do? Took it all off. So David took them off. Verse 40, then he took the staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and he put it in the shepherd's bag and his pouch and his sling in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began to draw near to David. You can see this. Can't you see these two guys coming together now? Man, they're coming down the bottom. 10 foot tall. Short David, red head, little snotty nosed boy, rough, rugged. Here he comes. So David came. And when the Philistine looked at him and David saw him, Philistine disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, and a good looking little kid. Philistine said to David, am I a dog? You're going to come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine said, come to me and I will give you the flesh of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand and I will strike you and take your head off from you. Can you imagine what that giant said? Here's a little bitty runt coming after me and saying, I'm going to take your head off. I can see that. I mean, like me going playing NFL football. Super Bowl. Throw me the ball. You know. And here come the Giants. I'm going to take your head off. I can say, Rosie Greer, I'm going to take your head off. y'all remember. Anyhow, and this day, I will give the carcasses to the camp of the Philistines and the birds of the air and the wild beasts that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Where's the battle? It's in the Lord's. The battle's on. Goliath shaking the earth when he's running toward him. David with his sandals swings a little swing in the air. A stone hits that giant in the temple, goes to the ground. David doesn't even have a sword. So he goes, pulls the sword out of Goliath's sheath and cuts off his head and holds it up. Crowd went wild. The Israelites took their courage. Because this young person faced the giant. You know what, Scott? If some of our young people will face the giant, a lot of us adults are going to take courage. Face the giant. Here's why it all matters. We got to make connections. You know, as we tell these stories and the understanding of the Word, we've got to apply it. If we don't apply the Word, we miss out on something. Does this Word really mean something to us today? Oh, absolutely. Here's what happened. David, he faced the giant. Now, in chapter 17, now y'all going to have to stay with me. Chapter 17, verse 8. I want you to see who the challenge was with. Chapter 17, verse 8, who came to fight? Goliath. The challenge was with Satan's superhero. Young people, Satan is going to challenge you. And the fact about the matter is, Satan is going to challenge you with his best. There are going to be challenges that you've got to face. In verse 11, Saul, when he saw this, the people were greatly defied. There's the challenge of fear. The whole nation of Israel standing behind Saul was afraid. But what did David do with fear? He faced it. In verse 26, there's defying the armies of God. Young people, you're going to have people who are going to use the Lord's name in vain. You're going to have people who will tell you, don't pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're going to have people tell you, don't be a Bible thumper around me. You're going to have systems. They're going to try to say and deny God. Challenge of the enemies defying God. Verse 28. You're going to be challenged from people putting you down. Brothers and sisters are going to put you down. Friends at school are going to put you down. David did not allow his brothers to put him down. There's in verse 33, there's a challenge of being young. You're but a youth. You see, young people, they're going to be those who are going to challenge you and say, you're not old enough to fight this battle, but it's there. Verse 33, there's going to be the challenge of pride. That's when David put on all of the armor of Saul. It didn't work. He had the pride to say, man, I'm in the king's armor. But he had enough understanding and wisdom to say, I hadn't tried it. You're going to have battles challenge with pride. And there's the challenge in verse 43, the challenge of intimidation. A 10-foot giant is going to face you and say to you, I'm going to feed you to the birds. What do you do? To Satan's strong men, the battle is the Lord's. To fear, you face it. To the enemies defying God, you face it. To those putting you down, you face it. To those telling you you're too young, you face it. To pride, you take it off. To intimidation, you face it. Because there is victory in the name of the Lord of hosts. Are you ready? Are you ready? Michelle, are you ready? Scott, are you ready for the test? Here's the test, Scott. Go release some Davids in your group. Okay? Go release them. We need to pray for our young people. David was anointed by the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for Scott and Michelle. They need to be anointed as they teach our young people to be anointed because they've got giants to face. Well, let me ask you a question this morning. Are you facing some giants? Are you being intimidated? Are you afraid? Are people telling you can't do it? See, many of you are facing these same challenges that David did. And you need victory. You need victory now. For an extended period of time, the giants have been hollering at you. But this morning, you're going to face the giant. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord of hosts is His name. We used to sing a song named Victory in Jesus. You know what? That song still works. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. And in this time of invitation, what we're going to do, we're going to listen to a song. If you know the song, I want you to sing along with it. If you don't know it, just enjoy it. But during the song, I'm going to challenge many of you to go to the prayer altars and face the giant. And if you'll go in the name of Jesus, you will win the victory. Say, I'm not equipped. What did David have on? Shepherd clothes. What did David have in his hand? Slingshot and five rocks. What you got? Whatever you got, God can use it. This morning, let's pray. Father, as we prepare to face the giant this morning, Lord, there's all kind of giants that's been running and just giving our people fits. They've been telling us all the reasons why we can't. But this morning, Lord, we're going to say why we can. Victory is in the name of the Lord. So, Father, I'm claiming victory right now for this group of people. I'm claiming victory over sin, over Satan, over separation. I'm claiming victory over bad relationships, over the lost, over jobs that are shaky. I'm claiming victory over intimidation, bad grades. I'm claiming victory this morning, Lord, over people who don't have enough food. I'm claiming victory for people whose health is broken. I'm claiming victory this morning in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming victory. So Holy Spirit, I pray today, win the battle. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together while this song is playing. If you know it, sing it. For those who are